Over the past 20 years of ministry, I've traveled to every continent except Antarctica, teaching God's Word in both churches and conferences. I've had the privilege of working on two church staffs for a combined 7 years before traveling full-time. Over this time, I've discovered two major groups within the church, and the gap of their differing thoughts seems to be widening as the Lord's coming draws closer. The first are those who seek God for what He can do, while the second seek Him for who He is. This contrast is seen with Moses and the children of Israel. Israel passionately desired to be free from oppression and cried out to God, acknowledging Him as their deliverer. These descendants of Abraham could be compared to the group who seeks Him for what He can do. There are those in the church who don't want the bondage that accompanies the world system. However, they unknowingly are still captive. They profess and acknowledge Jesus as Lord and look to Him for deliverance and provision. Yet, just as with the children of Israel, their heart is revealed by their desires, actions, words, and worldliness. For hundreds of years, Israel wept for God's deliverance. Then God appeared to Moses and told him it was time and gave His word to carry it out. Before approaching Pharaoh, Moses met with the elders of Israel and proclaimed God's promise of liberation. Upon hearing the good news, they were soon convinced that the Lord had sent Moses and Aaron, and when they realized that the Lord had seen their misery and was deeply concerned for them, they all bowed their heads and worshipped. Exodus 4:31, NLT. Moses leaves them and meets with Pharaoh. But Egypt's leader scorns Moses and the descendants of Abraham and increases their hardship. Now the very same leaders rail harshly against Moses. Yet over time, God in His mercy still delivers them with many signs and wonders. They are filled with joy as they dance their way out of Egypt, basking in God's goodness and faithfulness. Not only are they free, but there are abundant treasures of gold and silver lavished upon them. Once out of Egypt, God directs Moses to lead them to the shores of the Red Sea. They look back and realize Pharaoh is marching out against them. They bitterly complain to Moses' face, "Because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, 'Let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians'? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness." Exodus 14:11 and 12. Once again, God is merciful as He splits the Red Sea and brings them across on dry ground. Then, in one sweep, God buries the most powerful military on earth and the Israelites' oppressors for over 400 years. Now, they are exuberant. They rejoice and dance before the Lord. But it was short-lived, when water was scarce a mere 3 days later. Again they bitterly complain, and again God provides. A few more days pass, and now food is the issue. They whine, "Oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat and when we ate bread to the full. For You have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Exodus 16:3. Can you see their pattern? They are happy and thankful as long as God is doing what they want when they want it, and unhappy whenever God isn't doing what they want when they want it. Their core motivation is evidenced by their behavior and words under pressure. It's all about them. They elevate their desires over His heart or presence.